The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining the Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM. We are live and local this morning at our local WTBR studio here in Federico Drive, right here in Pittsfield. So welcome to Friday, July 19th. It's really flying by, isn't it? I'm going to be positive and live in the now. I'm going to celebrate that we are in our summer, at the peak of our summer. And today we're going to talk about one of the many things here in the Berkshires that we can do during our summertime. And actually, it's Ventforth Hall in Lenox. I have a couple of guests here I'll introduce you to in a few minutes. And they'll explain, too, that they have much more to do besides the summer. They have activities all throughout the year. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. Before we do that, of course, they have to make our morning visit to our National Weather Service.
Berkshire Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs around 80. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the mid-50s. West wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Saturday, mostly sunny. Highs in the mid-80s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
It sounds like it's going to be a nice weekend.
Yes.
It's been obviously a little humid, and I always hate complaining about the heat. You know, when they're in the winter, it's like,
I think it's
summer,
okay to
right?
complain when it feels like you're walking into a dishwasher at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, I know. It was definitely a bit much, that's for sure. So, hello, Pittsfield and Berkshire County. I am your guest host today, Brian Burkle, and I have two very special guests here with me in studio. They represent Ventforth Hall, which is a Gilded Age mansion and museum down in Lenox. I have here Claire Champ, who is a member of the board of directors for Ventforth Hall. Hi, Claire.
Hi.
And I have the executive director, Wendy Healy. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Good. So, Ventforth Hall, you guys got a lot going on there. And it's, you know, as far as, you know, we all know about the Berkshire history and you know, the Gilded Age and how much it influenced so much around here, you know, 150 years ago and all those cottages, quote unquote, cottages that existed. And Ventforth Hall is one of only really like four, I think we discussed beforehand, of those those original mansions/cottages that are open to the public. Most of them, the ones that remain, are a lot of them are either private or resorts or schools or something to that effect. But Ventforth Hall is unique in that it's something that has been restored and made available to the public. So there's so much for you to talk about today. I know that you're anxious to tell us all about Ventforth Hall. So where would you like to start?
Yeah, well, actually, maybe a little bit of history would be a good place to start. As you said, Ventforth Hall is one of four Gilded Age cottages open to the public during the Gilded Age, which is the period of history roughly between the end of the Civil War and the beginning of World War I. There were something in the neighborhood of 100 or so cottages built in the Berkshires, primarily in Lenox and Stockbridge, but also in other towns such as Great Barrington had Searle's Cottage, and there was Ashantully down in Tearingham, which is just a ruin now. You can go and see those ruins. And Pittsfield had some grand houses as well. Most of those homes are still in private hands, but as you mentioned, there many of them have also been turned into resorts or hotels or hospitality ventures.
And I think one of the things with a lot of these cottages, which is a very deceiving word, the upkeep and management of them, which we'll kind of talk about in Ventfort's history, is so expensive that they have to live multiple lives in order to survive. And so a lot of them have kind of either gone into private hands or, you know, business ventures in order just to stay standing.
Sure, of course.
Absolutely. And also, this term cottage that we use is a term that had a little bit of it's worth talking about what a cottage is. Okay, so it's not a little bungalow on the
minimum
on the
5,000 square feet.
Right. It was late in a later interview done with Brooke Astor. She said it was 20 rooms and 20 acres. So this gives you an idea of the scale. The cottages were a part of a society, a social circuit that occurred. So there was a season. There was a Berkshire season that happened in the autumn. It was September and October where the social set would come to the Berkshires and have their parties and their dances and their sporting events.
Honestly, that's my favorite time during the Berkshires. Well, so right. Totally understand.
Well, leaf peeping season, right?
I know.
Right?
Well, and you know, again, not dishwasher season as you walk out your front door. It's like September, it kind of peaks there and then gets really comfy.
Right. Well, in the spring, you would want to go to Paris and pick out your fashion.
As I do every year, obviously.
Absolutely. You know. And then in the summer, you'd go to Newport. Mm-hmm. Newport is known for its summer cottages. And then in August, it would be Saratoga for the races. Mm-hmm. And then you'd come to the Berkshires for the fall. Mm-hmm. And then winter season was in New York City. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
it's nice to have options.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
you'd go to New York City for the opera.
Right.
So it wasn't like every person went to all these places every, you know, in succession every year. But, you know, they didn't have Expedia or Travelocity or whatever that where they booked their reservations. What they did is they would get invitations to house parties and you would go and stay for a few weeks or a few months at these different houses. And so Ventfort Hall was no different. Mm-hmm. They were set up to entertain guests for a few weeks or a month. And so it wasn't like the Morgans. Ventfort Hall was built for Sarah Morgan, whose father was Junius Morgan. And Junius happened to have a son named J.P., who you might have heard of J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, so Sarah was J.P. Morgan's sister.
Yes. Right. Okay. I like to give Sarah some credit on her own, but the truth of the matter is she's known for being J.P. Morgan's sister. Mm. But, yeah, Sarah Morgan built Ventfort Hall when she inherited money from her father, Junius, upon his death. And
what is it in today's money? Like, she inherited, like, $3 million, right?
Yeah, she inherited $3 million, which was, like, $75 million in today's money.
Right. Wild amount of money.
Yeah, so $3 million back then, which was, what, late
1890-something?
1890,
yeah. Ventfort Hall was built in 1893. And
I think it cost like $1 million to build Ventfort, right? So like she used a third of her inheritance to build this massive property. I mean, it's kind of staggering to think what it took to build that.
And the name Ventfort,
It means a strong wind.
Okay.
Yes, vent or vent in French means wind, and fort means strong. So vent fort is strong wind, and that just refers to the beautiful cross breezes that we get.
Well, and also at the time, like this whole area, the mills were developing along here, and there was a huge wool industry. So a lot of the forests around the Berkshires that you see today weren't there 150, 175 years ago. And so the winds would be very strong coming off of the hills. So it was a very applicable name.
Yeah, and that's important to note to people that, you know, we have all this wonderful wilderness out here.
Yeah.
But 150 years ago, a lot of that was stripped down to nothing.
It was all sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, the name came with the property before the Morgans built Ventford Hall. There was a house on the property owned by the Haggerty family. And they're famous because their daughter Annie Haggerty married George Gould Shaw, who was the commander of the 54th Regiment, which was the first African American regiment in the Civil War.
Right.
And shortly after their marriage, he went off to battle, and of course that whole regiment perished in the war.
Right. And that story is memorialized in the movie Glory.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So Robert Shaw is played by
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yes. Denzel Washington won an Oscar for that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah. So when the Morgans purchased the property from the Haggertys, they moved the Haggerty house across the street.
To where Morgan Manor is now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
To where Morgan Manor is. And that house stood for many years, until the 50s, I believe.
Yeah.
And it eventually perished in a fire. But it was used as a guest house because they didn't have quite enough bedrooms.
Yeah.
At 14 bedrooms at Ventford Hall. It wasn't enough. They used it as a additional guest rooms for the property. So
a lot of history there.
Yes. There really is.
And I mean, that's just the starting
point
of it. Like,
yeah, we haven't even scratched the surface. There's
years
more
of history. After the Morgans left the house, the Bonsall, well, actually Vanderbilt rented it for a couple seasons, and then the Bonsall family bought it, purchased it, and maintained it for many years. And God, didn't they buy it for like $40,000 or something? It was insanely low. But again, like a house that size, it takes a lot to upkeep and, you know, repairs, everything. It's crazy. Even just seeing where it's at today and what it's going to cost to fix the things that need to be fixed and maintained. It's just like staggering.
That purchase price is just the first payment.
It's like a wooden boat. Like if you get it for free, you've paid too much usually. But it's worth it. It's a passion project and it's a really cool building.
Yeah. And so much has happened there. As I mentioned to you, Wendy, earlier, I actually grew up across the street on the other side of Walker Street. Ventforth Hall is located at 104 Walker Street, folks, if you want to go down there. But the so growing up in the 80s over there, across the street was this old mansion, all just covered in weeds and boarded up windows. And there were houses, you know, as we mentioned before, there were houses in front of it. So it wasn't really that visible from the road, which may have contributed, as we were talking earlier, to some of the disrepair and the condition that it ended up in. But, it was just a creepy, scary, rundown place when I was growing up. And it's just amazing the transformation that has happened. I've had the privilege of going down there a few times over the past couple of years and seeing what you're doing down there. And it's day and night. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so when you were growing up, it was boarded up and basically abandoned. Prior to that, so we can go backwards in history a little bit. Prior to that, it had been a religious fundamentalist group was the last occupant, so to speak, called Bible Speaks. And that group had a lot of real estate holdings in Lenox, and including
Didn't they have Fox Hollow? Or that was another cult or religious group?
I'm not sure.
That was a different group.
Yeah. I do know that they had all of what is now Shakespeare and Company.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we've had lots of visitors who had been part of that group.
Yeah, those are entertaining stories, by the way.
Yeah.
Between that and like the Folkien Ballet, I think those are the most interesting stories, like firsthand stories.
Yeah, I mean, the people that were there during that time had wonderful, wonderful memories of their time at Ventford Hall. But they will tell you that their leaders used mind control techniques.
Yeah, it was a cult. Like,
they wouldn't use that term. But yeah. In any case,
we know there were some lawsuits and so forth.
Right,
along
there was
that line,
a,
so,
yeah, what ended up happening is that there was a lawsuit that because the leadership. Needed funds to mm-hmm. maintain the organization, yep. And they got those funds from their followers.
Yeah.
And there was a suit that was won. One mm-hmm. of the families sued to get those funds back, and they won.
Yeah, and so, they kind of like picked up in the middle of the night. I think
they did.
And so Bible Speaks. Some of those folks had experiences with Ventforth Hall. And that's what they've shared with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the people that...
Some of the folks that have come back and,
yes.
and
yeah.
visited
yeah.
Ventforth
Hall.
Yeah,
and they would say, yeah. Oh, we remember the music, and we remember the fellowship, and we remember, where my office is now mm-hmm. is Sarah Morgan's morning room.
Yeah.
It's actually a shared office for a lot of the team. Oh, that was my bedroom. Or somebody who was like in leadership said, I tried to stage a coup because of all the mind control that was going on.
Those are the fun people that come in just randomly, yeah, too. And they're like, oh, yeah, I have a story to share. And then we just all pull up chairs and we're going to pour some tea. Let's do this. So many.
I mean, I know like one of the things that we'll talk about are some of the ghost stories that happen there, right? So you also have stories from the living.
Yes.
About their experiences.
Yes.
So anybody who's just joining us, I just want to reintroduce you to who our guests are. I have Wendy Healy, who's the executive director at Ventforth Hall, and Claire Schomp, who is on the board of directors with Ventforth Hall. So we're fortunate to have them in here in studio today talking about this wonderful museum and old mansion down in Lenox called Ventforth Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, too, when we talk about some of the history, and some of the more recent history and sort of that transformation that the property had gone through can be chalked up to some experiences with Hollywood, right?
Yes.
So it kind of brought the property into some notoriety with a little movie a couple of years. Well, geez, I think it's 20 years now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but it won Best Picture, right?
Yep. Cider House Rules.
Cider House Rules, right? Mm-hmm. So, I remember when that film came through and, I mean, it had some big stars, you know? Michael Caine, right, mm-hmm. and Tobey Maguire, and Charlize Theron, and the person that a lot of people forget about, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
He was sort of an up-and-comer at the time, right? But yeah, they were all there for filming of scenes, anyway, from
yeah.
that movie, right?
And we also continue to rent out the space for movies. I mean, we had last year another movie. What was it? The Onyx and the...
We had Onyx, the Fortuitous, and the Talisman of Souls.
That's a name.
It is. And it was really funny. Like, it was actually a really fun...
If you want to see every single room of Ventford Hall staged to the nines in a horror sci-fi comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That is your movie. It's really great.
It was in film festivals. It like won awards.
They
did a fun job with
it. And it is streaming, I believe, on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And we're in talks right now with a film studio mm-hmm. about coming to use Brentford Hall as a location.
It's just such a great site with so much that it can offer for, like, you know, just setting. It's really, it transports you to another time.
And then there's one other film that I did happen to see it. It was a little bit
Sam
different.
Elliott?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't actually, his role, his parts aren't filmed there, right?
Yeah.
It's a flashback of him as a younger person, mm-hmm. As a Nazi.
So this one is The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot.
Yeah. So it was a little bit different of a storyline.
It seems that the prerequisite for the film at Ventfort Hall is you must have a very long title.
Yeah.
So that is exciting though that you have that history to also tell, you know, and that people can watch these films and see this beautiful building in the movies.
Well, I think part of that is the architecture. It's a very unique architecture. It's Jacobean Revival, mm-hmm. Which Jacobean, the term Jacobean just means literally, Jacobean is after King James.
Okay.
So King James refers to three King James in England. Mm-hmm. So it means it's Englishy, okay? It's a very English style. Mm-hmm. Now, the architect is Arthur Roach, who is an American architect.
You'll recognize a lot of the other properties he did in the Lenox area.
Belvoir Terrace, Osceola.
Where Kemble Inn is as well, yes, the Frelinghuisen.
The Frelinghuisen Morris.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, half of Lenox was done by this architect, but I think we're one of the more unique properties as far as, like, it's a stone property that mm-hmm. is really, really unique. Mm-hmm.
It's different because George Morgan, okay, Sarah Morgan married her seventh cousin.
Because mm-hmm. she wanted to keep the Morgan name.
Right.
And the money.
Yeah.
When Sarah's father, Junius, was a banker and financier, and he had a practice in London. So George Morgan, who Sarah eventually married, was British. Mm. And so that's what her taste was. That's what their taste was when they decided that they wanted to build Ventfort Hall.
Mm-hmm. And he contributed like a crazy amount of knowledge and information to the gardens mm-hmm. around Ventfort, which we're trying to restore over time.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the giant walled garden that's back there. But a lot of the trees he originally planted are still on the property, mm-hmm. and it's cool to walk through and be able to point out, oh, this ginkgo tree is like 100 years old, mm-hmm. and, you know, this Japanese maple, varietals that you don't typically see. It's really cool.
And you say you're talking about trying to restore the gardens. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the restoration you've done inside and to the exterior of the building over the years. Can you walk us through some
yes.
of that?
So we talked a little bit about Bible Speaks. So Bible Speaks kind of left in the middle of the night and the house was boarded up, and that's when you remember mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness
it saved all the stained glass by boarding up the windows.
Oh, that's awesome.
The stained glass was boarded up. The stained glass is a little bit our pride and joy. It was all preserved. But what was going on during those years was a lot of deterioration.
Mm-hmm. And with a house this size, it goes really fast. When you don't fix a roof leak, mm-hmm. it will collapse floors. Like it's a lot. And this was almost intentionally like left to go.
It was really bad. So flash forward to early 90s, a developer bought the property, mm-hmm. Arthur Ivey, and his intention was to demolish the building and build a nursing home. And he had started some architectural salvage. He, you know, going into the the building and pulling out
all the cool bits, like some, the fireplaces and
mantles and bookcases and trims and features that could be sold, to get some value out of them. This came to the attention of local citizens, notably Tiasha Sprague and Marcy Brown, who said, absolutely not. We're not going to let this happen. And they,
brought in all the forces to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I say grit, determination, naivete.
Yeah. and I mean, over the course of like 10, 15 years, they really raised the money. Yeah. They got all the like foundational things set so that the property could really not fall down. Mm-hmm. That was the first part, I think.
Right. Keep it standing.
Right? I mean, the first step was putting the property on the or going through the process of having the estate listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Mm-hmm. What that meant is that the demolition could not go forward.
Mm-hmm. And you were successful getting that once classification?
Yes.
Okay. And once, which is like kind of a blessing and a curse. It's really great that we have it, but it also means any restoration work we do has to be very particular in how we carry it out, which is great because it preserves the integrity of the home. It just makes it a little bit more challenging in finding the artisans and all the people who know how to do this work. Which I geek out about. I love that about the house and the area and being able to talk to so many of the cool. The masons that are working on it right now. Yeah. They are so passionate about it and they are so great.
But
that kind of craftsmanship is hard to find.
It's been lost.
It's amazing when you look at these old buildings, the amount of work that went into it and the detail.
Yeah.
And trying to find someone who has that skill set, I guess, or it's just not. Like you said, it's art.
It's an art. And yeah. I think that's a lot of what we want to highlight with Ventford as well, is that beyond just being a Gilded Age mansion, which is a lot, like, don't get me wrong, that's really cool. The people who built this house were all local people or people who were from the area that had this skill set to create this beautiful masterpiece. And we want to highlight them as much as the people who've lived in it as well.
Right.
Right. And that is such a good point because the house has lived so many lives. And, Sarah Morgan built the house was finished in 1893. She died in 1896. And then George Morgan died in 1911. Since then, the house has lived. There were the Bonzels, then we haven't even talked about the Festival House era, which we need to talk about that. But
it's our theme for the year. So we definitely, when we get into events, we definitely want to talk a little bit about that.
Talk about the spirit of Festival House. But, it's not, it was a very, very exclusive place, but in the more than 100 years since the house was built, it hasn't been an exclusive place its whole life. And what we're doing with it now is making it an inclusive place. Mm-hmm. And it's important to us to talk about how things were done and who did the things just as much as it is important to us to talk about who the things were done for.
Yeah, sure, of course. It involves so many different people.
Right.
And it's wise to, celebrate all of that.
Yes.
Yeah, so that everybody feels more connected to it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us can't relate with being Sarah Morgan.
Right.
But a lot of us could relate with being the groundskeeper or the carpenter, right, or the cook. Those are the people that most of us can really relate with.
Absolutely.
So that draws you in better when you have that connection.
Absolutely.
So we're talking with Wendy Healy, the executive director at Ventforth Hall, and we also have Claire Champ, who is with the board of directors for Ventforth Hall. And we are coming up on the top of the hour, so we are going to pause for a station ID. We're going to thank a few of our underwriters, and then we will return. You are listening to The Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
For over four decades, Berkshire AHEC has been serving the health education needs of Berkshire County. We offer Massachusetts food allergen training, the Berkshire AHEC Health Scholars Program at BCC, medical interpreter training, and the Tobacco-Free Community Partnership. For more information, visit our website, berkshireahec.org, or call us at 413-842-5160. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hola, hola.
I'm Daisy.
Yo soy Marta.
Whether you want to learn a little Spanish or get a glimpse of our wonderful Latin roots, join us as we celebrate Latin culture with music from genres ranging from salsa to bachata. Gain insight on local news, community information, and very special guests. Only on Mundo Latino. Welcoming listeners of all nations on WTBR 89.7 FM.
Support for Mundo Latino comes from community health programs. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR. And now back to The Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Okay, and welcome back to the Morning Drive. We are here on WTBR 89.7. And I am your guest host today, Brian Burkle. We have in studio two special guests. We have Wendy Healy, who is the executive director for the Ventforth Hall in Lenox. And we have Claire Champ, who is on the board of directors for Ventforth Hall. Ventforth Hall, we'll get into some of the upcoming events that are on the schedule. But if you want to look up anything about Ventforth Hall, you can go to gildedage.org. And that's GILDEDAGE.org. And if you go to that website, you can find all kinds of information about what's coming up. And so one other thing, speaking of what's coming up, we just have to check in with the National Weather Service and see what's coming up for us over the weekend here with the weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs around 80. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the mid-50s. West wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Saturday, mostly sunny. Highs in the mid-80s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right. Thank you, weather robot. So, yeah, let's talk some more about Ventforth Hall. That's what you're here for today. We've got a lot to cover. So.
Yes. Okay. So. I think we were talking restoration, and a big part of that restoration history is the one part that we haven't talked about the history, which is the Aaron family and when they did Festival House and everything they did for the house. And it's also the theme of our year, which is great, that reviving the spirit of Festival House, which covers not only their mindset of how they approached opening a business and inn in the Berkshires to be an inclusive place, but also, you know, taking something that has been maybe neglected and pouring love and money into it to make it into this beautiful space for everyone. And so a lot of our restoration efforts are centered around that. And a lot of the partnerships we're reaching out for center around making this space accessible, making it approachable for anyone who wants to come in and see it, and making it fun, I think, through all of our events and our incredible staff and base of volunteers. They are all there because they love being there. It's I think Wendy has created this incredible environment that people feel excited about going into work and excited about volunteering and being a part of everything that happens there. So talking you up, now it's your turn.
Oh, that's so nice of you, Claire. So we were talking a little bit about the history of Ventforth Hall, and we had gotten to the Bonzels. You had mentioned the Bonzels.
Yeah, they're great. We'll pass them up and go to the...
Yeah, well, right. But it was the Morgans lived there, and then a Vanderbilt lived there, and then Bonzels lived there. After the Bonzels, the next resident was the Aaron family.
Yeah.
So what happened was...
And actually, Chelsea, our events person who I'm filling in for, she gave a great tea and talk on this earlier this month.
Yeah.
That really dives in deep. And, like, I'm sure it was... what's their daughter's name?
Madeline.
She has compiled so much history about them. But you'll give a quick overview.
Yes, I'm going to give a quick snapshot. So Bruno Aaron came to Pittsfield because he had a job offer to become the executive director of the Jewish Community Center. He was a social worker, and that was the job that he was offered. He moved his family, including his wife, Claire, and his baby daughter, Judy, up with him. Very quickly, in the course of doing his work, he was fielding lots of requests saying, where can we come and stay? We want to come and see Tanglewood. We want to go to Tanglewood. We want to see you. We want to see you and the kids. We want to see the Berkshires. And Bruno had to say, "I'm really sorry, but there are no accommodations that will accept Jewish people." Mm. It was the 50s, and that is.
That was the reality, unfortunately.
It was shocking to me to learn this, that was the way it was in the 50s, but it was. So Bruno decided that he was going to buy Ventforth Hall instead of working at the Jewish Community Center. He was going to buy Ventforth Hall, turn it into an inclusive hotel. But more than that, he turned it into a... arts center, a community center, a place where it was like an arts resort. He hired a artistic director named Anthony Tony, who had had arts and music going all summer long. They had a theater season where they did 7 plays. They had music, they had Dizzy Gillespie and Pete Seeger and Odetta and Lord Burgess, who wrote all the music for Harry Belafonte. They had art, painters and ceramicists and all different types of artists.
This was
at Ventford Hall.
Yeah. Okay.
So the idea was that they would have artists in residence who, in exchange for their room and board, would provide entertainment or classes for guests. And really, what ended up happening was really the beginning of the arts and culture scene in the Berkshires, that ancillary scene above and beyond Tanglewood, was born at Ventford Hall. And that is something that spirit is something that we're really trying to capture and to continue. Because we are a restoration still in progress, we, all of our rooms on the first floor are still usable as event space. And so we have lectures and we have events. We have concerts, and we love to still
some vaudeville performances in the past.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
And plays, and
it's so much more fun, I think, to be in such an intimate setting in a house that was designed for entertaining, and especially with like the what's the event we have coming up, the Prima Music. It's so fun sitting in this parlor with a professional, like really top grade musician, and maybe 50 to 60 other people. It feels so intimate and such a treat to be able to be a part of that, you know? And I think a lot of the events that we've booked out this year really focus on just the Aaron's legacy more than anything, the art, the...
Right, exactly. So that idea that... kind of the two sides. One is using the house for arts and culture, and the other side is making it an inclusive space. And so our season is packed with arts and culture, as it always will be, but many of the themes of those events that we've got coming up are themes around inclusiveness or untold stories. And that's where reviving the spirit of Festival House has been our theme for the season. Although I would venture to say that reviving the spirit of Festival House is something that goes deeper than just one season. I think reviving the spirit of a Festival House is something that is more a core value of what we're doing as an organization.
Yeah.
And some of those things that you're doing, you have listed called Tea and Talk.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you talk a little about that? Tell me about
what's
coming up and what the Tea Talk is about.
Well, the most recent one coming up, we do them every Tuesday. And I'm actually giving the next one with my best friend, Chelsea. We are doing one on the beauty trends, the very deadly beauty trends of the Victorian era, which I think I was saying earlier, as a kid, I was fascinated with all these deep dives you could go on the internet when it was, still the internet that was okay as a child. Maybe it wasn't, but that's okay. But
you made it through.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I would go on all these searches through like weird random stories of the Victorian era. And I came up with so many wild beauty trends through, like, with arsenic and lead. And my favorite being women used to have brooches of live insects that they would clip to their to their dresses, like these huge beetles from Egypt that they would have, like, little gold chains that attached. And, like, just randomness.
Oh, they did. That's right.
Yeah. So, so we're going to be giving a talk this Tuesday, kind of going through all these trends. It's actually 13 and above age-wise, because there is a lot of, you know, kind of distressing material for kids, I would say, that I dove into, but, like, maybe it wouldn't be the best. Yeah. But it's we usually do the talk, the lecture, and then we have a Victorian tea afterwards with just a beautiful spread on the table, and then we can talk to everyone who attended and answer any other random questions, or if people want to geek out with us, we can do that as well. But the lecture itself is really fun, and we have so many coming up. Again, it's every Tuesday. I'm really excited. We were talking about the people who built Ventfort Hall. There's a talk coming up called Untold Lives, Recovering the Histories of Eustace Estate Workers. And that's so much a part of how these buildings operated and how they still stood, that I don't think people really realize the work that went into it. So I'm really excited for that talk. There's also just, again, the live music we do. You can buy tickets through our website. It's a great alternative to Tanglewood. Still go to Tanglewood because it's awesome. I love going there. But if you want something that is slightly less stress and
easier parking,
you're out
of the elements just too, in case it's a rainy day.
I mean, Ventfort Hall, you know, if you are a chamber music lover, I would just point out that the word chamber refers to chambers, as in rooms. And our rooms are the exact...
The acoustics are incredible. And
our house was made for music.
Even when you walk in, that staircase
and
the balconies, it all suggests almost like a stage.
It used to have, you know? That's where quartets would sit, up in that balcony
musicians
area.
Sure.
Sure, I believe that. Yep.
When you listen to a small music gathering in our billiard room, which is absolutely stunning with the stained glass and the wood paneling. It's an intimate, special, it's just an experience that's not something that you get on the stage at Tanglewood.
Right.
And we try and make the price point as approachable as possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to work with businesses as well to offset that cost to anyone who may not be able to pay that price point to be able to offer tickets to others. So.
And I do want to point out that, you know, Ventfort Hall is a nonprofit organization. And I do want to get into a little bit about how people can support you, but and obviously one way is to go buy tickets for some of these tours, some of these events, the tea and talk, but also you have, like, the ghost tours.
Yes.
Right? Can you talk a little about the ghost tours and what that offers?
Oh, the ghost tours are so popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We offer ghost tours and paranormal investigations. So those are two different things. Ghost tours are more frequent, but... the ghost tours are they're like a regular house tour. So you're going to go through the entire house and you're going to get all the history, just as if you were going on a regular tour.
But it's at night in the dark with flashlights.
With your flashlight, right?
Well, so of course. When else do you do a ghost tour? Right?
No lights. No lights are on, so you're just by flashlight. And Robert Oakes does a phenomenal job, and he talks all about the stories they're not made up stories. They are stories that have been relayed to him by people that have experienced them, whether they are staff members or guests.
Well, and I did a ghost tour last fall for the first time, and I was kind of a helper or docent to help herd people from room to room. And my job was to count the heads of everyone to make sure everyone was getting room to room and nobody was left behind. And I consistently kept getting one extra person every single time. And I'm like, I know I'm bad at math, right? But when there's 25, 26 people, like, I know I'm counting right. And it was every single time. I'm like, why am I counting another person? And it was just like, it was one of those creepy things. And everyone was taking photos, too, in the dark. And everyone had some sort of experience. So it's, even if you go in with low expectations, you are very, very pleasantly surprised by how thorough and engaging Robert is. And just the presence in the house mm-hmm. is really, really cool.
Now, when you say you go throughout the entire building, I understand there's a bowling alley. Is that yes. part of the tour? Or no,
no? Okay. Unfortunately, you need to sign a waiver and also become a volunteer. No, okay. That's how they got me in. I was like, I want to see this bowling alley. The basement is an unrestored section of the house, and that's where the original kitchens were. It's where the bakery was. There's a whole dish room that is now our plaster cast room and tile room. Mm-hmm. And there is a bowling alley. It is not in the shape it would be when it was built, but hopefully with restoration efforts and donations by people to help us restore it, mm-hmm. We can create another area of the house for people to walk through.
So again, you can go to gildedage.org, and that's gilded spelled G-I-L-D-E-D, age.org. To get to the website for, that is the website address for
yes,
Ventforth Hall. And you can see all the upcoming events.
You can purchase tickets.
You can purchase the tickets online, right?
Inquire about volunteering. We love having yep. new volunteers.
Yep. And, become a member.
Yeah, actually becoming a member is the number one way that you can help support us. If you just want to come in at an entry level, it helps us on so many different levels to have people supporting us in that way. And I think it's just a great support of the Berkshire culture, too.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any fundraisers or anything scheduled in the near future?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, we just announced yesterday to our membership.
So this is hot off the presses.
It is hot off the
presses. This is hot off the presses.
And leaning into like the goth haunted
right?
thing.
So we're just starting to build our programming for the fall. And we love this time of year because, you were mentioning that, you know, there was always this kind of creepy place across mm-hmm. the way. Well, we like to lean into creepy at during the fall. We've got a masquerade macabre planned for October 12th. Mm-hmm. And we don't have all the details yet, but Save the Date has gone out, and we know that we're going to have a specialty cocktail, and it will be
the house will be decked out.
The house mm-hmm. will be
music,
decked out. Music,
costumes.
There'll be a specialty cocktail, we're not going to go halfway on this.
Yeah.
So that will be a fundraiser for us. We always accept donations online at gildedage.org, mm-hmm. and we love members. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for volunteers, and we also just love to have people come and tour the house. Mm-hmm. That's
obviously
the
we like talking about the history of the house.
Sure.
Like we spent the first
a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
There really is.
I mean, that's the first thing. I mean, getting people to Ventforth Hall to see what we're all about. People love it. People mm-hmm. love it once they see it,
yeah.
once they come, mm-hmm. and then we can talk about membership and donations.
Yeah, so go try it out.
Yeah.
Try it out, and
yeah.
then
come check us out,
and you'll love it, and then you'll want to join.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I also wanted to talk about another big event that we've got coming up, which is
the personal librarian.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
We have a It's part of our normal tea and talk, but it's a very special tea and talk because we were able to get Victoria Christopher Murray, who is a New York Times bestselling author. Mm. She's the co-author of The Personal Librarian, which I don't know if you've heard of the book, but it has been just a really, really popular book. It is about J.P. Morgan's personal librarian, Bell DaCosta Green, who amassed his incredible collection of manuscripts and art for his library in New York City. Mm-hmm. And she was a Black woman who passed as white. It's a fascinating story. And the link to Ventfort Hall is that George and Sarah Morgan's son, Junius, got her that job with JP. Mm-hmm. So he makes an appearance in the book, which is really cool. We're thrilled to have her.
We still have some tickets available because we wanted to make it approachable price point wise where mm-hmm. you can just go to the lecture or do the lecture and tea and talk
mm-hmm.
right. or the tea, I should say. So we still have what, like 40 tickets left?
We have tickets left for the tea and talk on July 30th.
And we're doing it at Trinity Church because it's big enough to hold the amount of people who are interested in going to it.
Okay.
And then the mm-hmm. people who will be doing the tea will come to Ventfort afterwards.
Yeah, and so people know Trinity Church is just up the road,
yeah.
a few hundred yards.
It's you can the walk
church,
it if
church
you
on
want.
The corner is what they call
yeah.
it, you know, locally.
Yes.
So it's not far from Ventfort Hall at all.
Trinity Correct. Church is right next door to Ventfort Hall and is the church that George and Sarah worshipped mm. at, and mm. they have a stained glass window that was dedicated to Sarah Morgan by George on mm. her death, and that's a sweet story too. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of connection between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd love to see people there at that event. That's going to be wonderful. And those tickets for the Tea and Talk are fundraiser tickets. They're at a $75 price point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way people can support us.
Yeah, that's great. So we are winding down. We got a few minutes left. You know, obviously, like I said, you guys are a nonprofit organization. You've got a lot of work still ahead of you. You've done some fantastic work in restoring this old Gilded Age mansion and turning it into a museum where you do celebrate a lot of the history surrounded with the Gilded Age. I know you've done some displays of different things from the Gilded Age, dishware and just things about living in that period of time. And you've said not just those who lived in those homes, but also those who worked in those homes.
Mm-hmm.
So people can go to gildedage.org, and it's gildedage.org, and find out all the things you guys have coming up. You've got a ton of events coming up. It's a great place, like you said, Wendy, not just as a museum, but it's a living performance center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's part of the history. You're embracing that. You're bringing it back. You have a list of events that are coming up. Great ways for people to support you. They can also become members. And, of course, you're always looking for volunteers. All nonprofits,
Absolutely.
Are always looking for volunteers. It's so important. And I know there's a lot of great people out here who are volunteers in Berkshire County. And I know there's a lot of people who are always looking for something to do.
Yep.
So look into Ventfort Hall and see if that's something for you as a volunteer. What else would you like to hit on? We've got about 1 minute left.
I just would like to say that we're in the middle of a major restoration. We're working on our masonry, and we've gotten some wonderful grants from the Massachusetts Cultural Council and the Lenox CPC, so we're really thrilled about that.
Could always use O'Neil, more donations.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'd like to thank the guys over at O'Neill Masonry.
They're fabulous.
They're doing a wonderful job. That's our mission is to restore Ventfort Hall, and that is going to be an ongoing project. The masonry is where we're going.
We got to do the tower and the sidewall next, and it is a very, very intense thing to do. So anyone who can donate or be a part of the effort would be amazing.
All right. And again, thank you, Wendy Healy, the executive director, and Claire Champ with the board of directors for Ventforth Hall in Lenox. And you can find it at 104 Walker Street, right down the center of town. So thank you again. And look into Ventforth Hall. Sounds like a lot of great things going there. Thank you, Wendy and Claire, for being here today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us on.